Encourage me the whole way long. Say, ow! What the fuck is up, people out there in podcast land? You're listening to the Nestorius Public Radio Show live Thursday nights from 9 to 10 p.m. here on SkidRowStudios.com. Write this number down, 1-800-893-9562. I'm your host, Nestor Rodriguez, a.k.a. Nestorius. We have a crazy-ass show today. We got my man, Rich Corbin.
What's up?
And we got a couple of couple of cats I know from the Rogue Gallery. I'm my man Jeffrey Peterson.
The 420 comic is now in Los Angeles.
The 420 comic is in effect. Fact. And right next to him, we got this other motherfucker from Boston. And we he got a lot of names, but he's really known as the King of Pot.
How you doing? I'm in L.A. Yo, I don't believe it, man.
What's up, y'all? You're in fucking L.A.
But I don't park the car down here anymore.
No. You walk.
Yeah, I walk.
It's fucking dark in this motherfucker, and this guy got shades on.
I always wear my shades.
Always.
Everybody knows. I want to say hello to the East Coast. King of Pop made it to L.A. We're with the 420 comic filming our epic documentary of the marijuana epic center of the capital of the world.
Epicenter. My man, the King of Pop, is none other than my Negro, the white brother from another, Dagwood.
That's right. I need my lawyer right now.
What's up, homie? Hey, yo, right off the... Well, first of all, it's gonna be a crazy-ass show. That's right. We're gonna have a crazy-ass show today. We're gonna have the difficult topics to discuss, but we're gonna still attack them. We're gonna kick it live on the Detroit tip. We're gonna try to cover the 1943 riots, the 1967 riots, the present day demise, the mayor being incarcerated, shit sludge that's being dumped on the Detroit River from Canada. We're gonna talk about a bunch of shit. We have an interview from my man John Crash Matos, graffiti artist, prolific extraordinaire, and we got a lot more shit to deal with, man. We're gonna talk. We kick it. Yeah, that's right. All right. So, I should have said, yo, it's Hemp Motherfucking Con.
Fuck yeah.
Big up.
It was so hot in Burbank today.
How hot was it?
How was it, man?
It was so hot, I paid a hooker to blow on me. Thank you very much. Is that weird? Is that wild?
No. Big up for hookers.
Because hookers don't leave hickeys. That's why I love hookers.
Right. I dig it. So before we start off with, I definitely want to talk about you guys. You guys are new on the show. Welcome, KOP.
Thank you.
Welcome, KOP, to LA City. You know what I'm saying? Boston is one of my favorite little enclaves on the East Coast. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I want to talk about Dagwood. Dagwood has been, we've been trying to get this shit together for a while. Because you were going to be one of my co-hosts earlier on. And we started the Nestorius Public Radio Show, I don't know, like maybe 7 weeks ago, some shit like that, 6 weeks ago. Anyway, you were supposed to come through a couple of weeks ago. 3 weeks ago, yeah. And we were ready to roll. I was waiting for you up at the North Hollywood train station. What happened? I was waiting for you. The crazy shit happened. You kick it.
Okay, well, I'm a cop magnet. Okay, let's just get real about it. You'd have to see me.
Hold it. He's a cop magnet. I have to preface his story by saying the motherfucker looks like a white supremacist with fucking a mustache, marijuana tattoos on his neck, like he killed like 80 fucking fields of marijuana, like he's a triple murderer of the marijuana plant. So, and this motherfucker got stories up the ass. Go ahead.
This was my role model, by the way.
Yeah. That's Jeffrey's brother, by the way.
So, I'm minding my beeswax, you know, I'm on my bicycle. I'm a bike rider because I'm eco-friendly.
Believe him, too.
Okay, I'm seriously. And I get pulled over randomly like I always do. If I drive by a cop, I mean, they see me, they're, oh, okay, whatever. You know, they ask me the question every time they pull me over, are you on parole? No, thank God right now I'm not on parole, you know, so. They're not supposed to have the right to search me.
I thought they would ask you, are you a white supremacist?
No, they don't ask you that. They assume
he's,
that
he's
one.
He's a pot supremacist.
Yeah, I'm a black. Okay.
Are you on parole? Yeah, Isn't that a fucking stereotype? I mean,
because if I am, they get to search me and search everything I have. From this point on, it's all.
And you know this because?
Because I've been.
Because you got your shit on lock.
I got my shit locked down.
Go ahead.
But okay. I don't carry anything illegal on me. I'm not stupid anymore.
Right.
I'm not a young man. Let's try to take chances.
I hear you.
So they find any kind of reason. Like they run in there and they say, oh, you've got a warrant for fare evasion for not paying your train ticket. Okay, I'm going to have to put you in handcuffs and put you in the back of the car. I'm like.
And you had a warrant for fare evasion?
For fare evasion, for not paying a ticket. It's like 8 years old, you know, 6 years old.
Wow. L.A. is that desperate.
But they won't take you in for these warrants. They won't arrest you. They'll tell you that you got a warrant, but they won't arrest you.
And they handcuffed you and detained you.
And put me in the back of the car, which is smaller than hell. My knees are up on my chest, you know what I mean?
How tall are you, Dagwood?
6'4".
6'4", okay.
You know, so as I sit here and watch these guys rifle through everything I own, you know, that's in my backpack, I mean, and spread it all out over the car and looking at everything, pulling everything up, opening the cameras, looking at the pictures, and then you see the startled look on their face. Whoa, hey, well, okay. Well, that's not illegal though, dude. You know, I mean, maybe hot, but it's not illegal. Yeah. And after, you know.
They found the marijuana on you?
Oh, they always find the marijuana on me.
but it wasn't illegal. It's not illegal. No,
you don't always find the marijuana on you, but they do.
See, I'm finding that.
The problem I have with all this is that when I was a kid, you know, part of getting high was the adrenaline you got because you had to hide and run from the cops. You motherfuckers now, you just smoke openly, you hang out. Yeah. It's like a pussified version of getting high. You know, part of getting high.
Well, we don't like to call it pussified. Okay.
It helps us get more pussy because we
got it.
Okay, so, you know, yes, they find my pot and they start to say, oh, you know, what's this? I'm like, it's marijuana. I got my medical card. I got my script. Everything's in line. So they always have to give it back to me. Then they always try to pull some crap like, well, you got kind of a lot of weed here, man. And I'm like, okay, your point? Well, what is this for sales or distribution? Because I'm not finding any smoking utensils. And I'm like, what the hell does that have to do with it? Because I've got like under an ounce still, but I don't have a pipe or rolling papers on me. So now all of a sudden it's for sale?
You had groceries. You're coming back from the store, you know?
Yeah, right.
Hold on. You had under an ounce?
Yeah, under an ounce.
Like, what does that mean?
That means,
you can get fucking the whole of Van Nuys high. The shit you guys smoke is like,
it's like dangerous.
I don't get high.
We smoke the fire.
Yo, I don't get high.
We smoke the ganja fire.
You got to.
I walk around within fucking 3 miles radius of Jeffrey, and I smell the fucking
you get the
residue.
If that Kush cologne wears.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
So, you know.
So you text me at some point.
I text you, and I'm like, I'm.
Yo, I just got detained. I'll see you in a little while. I'm going to take my bike.
Yeah, I'm going to take my bike there. I'm going to jump on the train. So I get on this in this taxi, you know, I eventually get the taxi, and the taxi gets in an accident on the way to the train station.
Because he was high.
I'm like,
because he was high.
Just my luck. You
know? Nah, because he was high. Motherfucker was smoking the shit you gave him.
You don't pass the joint forward to the driver.
Right.
You know, I mean, he's just sitting there and he rear-ends somebody from behind. I'm like, oh, dude, this is not helping me here, man. I'm supposed to be downtown by a certain time. And I mean, I got a deadline. I'm like, I'm not going to make it. I'm going to hang myself right here.
You think?
Yeah. but this has been crazy because, I mean, I'm not going to say I'm a criminal, but I've been.
You've had your fair share of handcuffs.
I've been on the dark side.
And you've been read your rights a few times.
Many times.
And you've done, eaten like fucking thick cut cheese in cell block D, right?
Yeah, for sure.
I hear you, man.
Sure. I can make a mean sweet and sour pork out of prison food.
Out of fucking underwear. You can make a mean sweet and sour pork out of fucking Fruit of the Loops. Yo. Just so you guys know, I am going to be discussing Pruno, which is the origin of Pruno is prune wine that's made inside of correctional facilities all across America. I'm not going to discuss this today, but I am a little fascinated by that whole thing, and I'm actually thinking about doing a business venture I'm trying to approach, and Jeffrey, you might help with this, a couple of liquor distributors, because it's all about gimmick and marketing. You know, Pruno vodka, Pruno gin, Pruno wine. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, and I spend my time with felons and people that party with alcohol made out of prunes.
No, you just put you. No, because they got
out of prunes.
No, they got Crip Pruno. They got white supremacist Pruno. They got all sorts of shit.
Yeah.
In short, they make it with fucking Heinz fruit salad.
Now, what they make it with is they need a pure source of sugar.
Right.
Okay, they need a little water.
Right.
And they love to use any kind of fruit, especially a citrus fruit.
Right. Oranges and fucking Del Monte fucking fruit salad.
Yep.
And you put that shit in a plastic baggie and let that shit ferment.
But you gotta add one thing. You need a piece of bread to be the yeast to be the kicker.
See, that's right. That's a white supremacist Pruno right there. That's the shit. That's the difference between the black Pruno and the white Pruno. The white Pruno is fermented. The shit has a little bit more finesse.
That's the whole point of it.
You know? I got you. If you're going to do it right and get busted, you might as well do it right.
You got to put it out there.
Anyway, we're going to talk about that another time. I just thought I'd mention that because we're on the jail tip. Anyway, so you're here now.
Bringing home good memories.
Dude, I know all about the Pruno. You're here now. Everything. Big up, Dogwood, man. They let you go, brother.
Again.
All right. So, so it's HempCon, guys. You guys are here.
God bless America.
This is HempCon.
Talk to me about HempCon.
I feel like a Vietnam vet. This is my eighth HempCon that I've performed at.
What's HempCon? Forget HempCon. Performing. What is that shit?
What is that shit? It's a trade show for the marijuana industry.
What's the fucking trade show? I mean, that's marijuana. Smoke it, that's it. What else is there?
Well, there's a lot of accessories nowadays that go with smoking.
Like what? Brain cells? Like you can get fucking supplementary brain cell fucking injections?
We've made it very complicated. Now, you have to be a certified welder just to get high. I mean, because there's torches involved. There's fucking, you know?
So, You introduced yourself as the 420 comic. You're a comedian. We know each other as comedians. And the other thing I want to say is I always fail to do this, but I want to give a big up to Da Breaks. Big up to Da Breaks on Kevin Smith's Smodcast Station where Jeffrey and I kick it live Monday nights with Jam Master James. Big up Jam Master James, you pot smoking motherfucker. All right. I have to get that. I always forget to give props to James, man.
Yeah.
James is my pod father. You know what I mean? James put me on the map with this shit. Anyway.
This is one of my biggest supporters. James. And my podcast partner.
And we all love James. James is a sweetheart. We're going to have him here do a call.
But HempCon is going to be cool this year because. HempCon is, there's going to be people, selling like apparel and selling, glass and different accessories and stuff. Anything related to cannabis and weed. The other thing is. The HempCon took out a little bit of money this year like they did in 2010 when they got Ziggy Marley and Fishbone. Mm-hmm. This year, they're stepping it up. They got Redman tomorrow night.
And they got President Clinton also coming down, right?
I did not inhale, but I did sleep with that woman, and then we got high after that, okay? But I didn't inhale before I did it.
Fucking white guy, crazy motherfucker.
So you're old school. You like the old school. EPMD is headlining Saturday.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
EPMD.
Is that right?
I'm going to be sharing the stage
on Saturday.
Saturday.
Yo, what's up? You got a free ticket?
DJ Muggs.
Yo, DJ Muggs?
DJ Muggs will be there. There's 25 DJs. Yeah.
Nah.
25 DJs.
Yo, yeah. DJ Muggs, for y'all not knowing about hip hop. DJ Muggs is the DJ/producer of one of my favorite rap groups, Cypress Hill. Sampling motherfuckers from Ozzy Osbourne to all sorts of shit. Yes. Anyway.
So I'm
big up DJ Muggs. Big up.
If you don't smoke pot, come out anyways. You'll
get high.
You'll get high.
You're a big advocate for marijuana, pro marijuana, for the laws of marijuana, and for people's rights for 20 years.
Twenty-year activist. My brother and I in 1991, we had a heavy metal band that used to play out here called Night Riot.
Right.
And we were kind of considered like a Christian rock band to some people.
Right.
And
I got it.
We come out with a song about weed. And they were like, what? You guys smoke weed? And we're like, yeah. And they go, aren't you guys Christians? We're like, yeah, we're the kind of Christians that smoke weed.
We're born again, get high fucking Christians.
So I've been for 20 years, I've been trying to, find creative ways in the pop culture to,
In the Cheech and Chong.
Pop culture, yeah. Cheech and Chong are my, inspirations.
Of course.
So from there,
Hey, man.
I just love, and what's cool is, making people laugh about a subject that if you've ever seen somebody with cancer or anything like, you know, leukemia,
it
does help.
That.
It does help.
And you know, a special guest, the King of Pot. The King of Pot.
How you doing?
The King of Pot. The King of Pot. Mike D'Angelino Mike Malta from the North End. From the North End of Boston.
Yeah.
Fucking A.
So you're here, fucking A.
I'm here because I've got to experience the Cali movement. I got to see what's going on here.
The Cali Kush movement with your number one Sherpa.
With my number one Sherpa here. The 420. We kind of bonded, him and I. He came
up. How'd you guys meet up?
Well, I've known him from the social networks through the MySpace days.
Yeah.
And we kept in touch. And
big up MySpace! Yeah, fuck! Big the fuck up!
Making a comeback, I heard.
Yeah. And he followed me, and we, you know, have like a kindred spirit together, and we followed and helped each other out, and he came out to my way last year.
Right.
To do...
to get some cannolis.
No. He came out to do one of...
Some pot-filled cannolis.
He wanted lobster.
Oh, lobster?
Yeah.
Yo, the lobster in New England is amazing, huh?
That's right.
Oh, it's
my family's from New England, New Hampshire.
New Hampshire.
You live on the border.
I live right on the border.
Yeah, well, I'm southern New Hampshire. Amherst.
Amherst, they're not too far from me.
Yeah. They're Italians. They migrated up there in that part of town.
We like it up there.
Yeah, it's nice.
We get a lot of space.
You can make a lot of noises. You can bury shit. No one starts asking you questions. You know, I got it.
We got it. So we got to know each other, and he came up to our event. Not like an event out here.
Right. But it was called Canamania.
Canamania.
Right. And, his event.
Yeah.
So not my event. It was Jim Fowler.
I came up to Augusta, Maine, and to perform at the first cannabis event there. It was awesome.
Right.
Maine is a lot like Oregon, but just like East Coast.
But they party a
little. Yeah, it's a lot like Oregon. A lot of white people, and they're crusty. A
lot less strippers. A lot less fat strippers with tattoos.
Yeah.
So again,
they party a little less hottie. You know, they're in bed by, everything's quiet by 12:30, quarter
to 1.
In Maine.
Yeah.
You know? So we got to know each other, came back to my house, and we kind of had kindred spirits together. We got high.
Man.
We got high. We got a lot high, man, at my house. Yeah. A lot of wine drinking, too.
Okay.
And that's how it happened.
So why are you the
why
king
am I
of,
here?
Why? No. I know why you're here. Why are you the king of pot?
Good question.
Okay. Oh, you want to know? Never knew.
I do.
I was wondering myself.
Do you really want to know?
I'll tell you. Okay. I want to know.
Do you have a kingdom?
You can't come in this motherfucker with the king of pot and not fucking tell us why you're the king of pot.
I'll tell you why. A very good friend of mine in the movement, Mark Emery, the prince of pot.
Ah.
He's been doing this.
What's his name again?
Mark Emery, the prince of
Mark. That's Mark Emery to all you non-fucking Bostonians.
Incarcerated.
Canadian
incarcerated by our own government.
By
the United States.
For selling seeds to the United States. When every other major seed company out in Canada is sending seeds in, they decide in the Bush era that they're going to attack only
him.
And they extradited him in his own government. Shame on them, allowed it.
That's not news. But, I mean, they do that shit all the time.
But watching his activism for so many years, my mom, special story, got sick. And I saw that marijuana would work for her, but she was too afraid to use it.
Right.
So she ended up using the medications that finally killed her. So I wanted to come out because I was pissed.
So she never used the marijuana?
No.
Had you hit her in the head with a bag of that shit, she would have got cured.
She would have been alive today.
That's fucked up. May she rest in peace. What's your mom's name?
My mom's Vera.
Vera?
Yeah.
Big up, Vera! Big up, you Italian mama! You know what you're doing up there! Big up with the stromboli and the macaroni and the red sauce!
We were sitting at the dining room table one day, and I said, I want to come out as an activist.
Right.
And someone came up, a best friend of mine back home, said, be the king of pot. I said, what?
Right.
And it started from there, and it took off. I got my own website, thekingofpot.com.
Right.
And I've got KOPProductions.com, where our radio shows are.
KOP Productions is an internet radio show?
It's not just radio. We're a production video company.
Okay.
They're out here.
Okay.
My company's the one that's filming it.
Got it.
We also have thekingofpot.com, where all my videos reside.
There you go. So filming,
there you are.
Filming the documentary that you're doing with Jeffrey Peterson.
It's called The Cali Connection, East Meets West, kingofpot.com.
Right.
Just an announcement about it. But all my videos are there.
For those of you guys that are listening live, go to thekingofpot.com and check out the King of Pot, Mike. Jeffrey Peterson is on the East Meast West thing.
That's right. Yep.
Big shit's gonna happen.
And then more. Go into the make sure you go to my website kopproductions.com because that's where our counterculture radio stations are, including. Yeah. The radio shows that we
there's going to be a lot of fucking burnt out motherfuckers walking around. Where is this? Downtown L.A.?
Down to L.A. Convention Center.
L.A. Convention? Yeah. Yo, that's a huge, big dude. Fucking convention center.
This is
it's huge.
You know, it's funny. I got banned from the Ice House, America's oldest comedy club.
Really?
In 2008.
Really?
Because I brought the first pot comedy show ever to the Ice House. And that's where Cheech and Chong, Steve Martin, George Carlin, a bunch of people started.
Some history there.
And, so the owner, Bob Fisher, said, why don't you take your pot comedy to Hollywood, Jeff?
Right. He told me this story.
He said, don't come back for a while. Well, I just want to say, I'm here at the L.A. Convention Center.
Well, I know you,
so
Bob.
I took it to Hollywood and beyond. So it's like, you can't stop us, man. No. With it, you can't sweep this under the rug, but it's a cultural thing. That's where we're at with it. It's like we're bringing we get to make fun of it and have fun with it as well as, you know. Yeah. I don't like to talk too much
everybody.
About, like, I let other people do the educating part. I do the fucking dissecting it and making fun of it part.
Yeah.
And I do more the serious part and using it and showing people that it isn't the demon drug it is.
Okay, real quick. So you motherfuckers now got a million ways to ingest marijuana. Right? You got vapors, vaporizers,
tinctures.
You got drops.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What else is out there in the marijuana
Everything
market?
Edible.
Something
lollipops.
You can put on your tongue, like a strip. It's called a canna strip.
Like
just
a breath
melt,
strip?
Yep, just melt on your tongue, cannabis.
Same idea.
And so basically that THC gets out. Dissolved into your...
Any kind of hard candy, any kind of like...
Suppositories. You
know. But again, isn't getting high... the ritual of getting high, smoking a joint or smoking a bong or something like
that. No, it's a pot of beans.
We do that too, but in between going to someone's place, we have to use another device to get high while we're on the way.
I take it a different way, dude. I don't naturally get high. Right. I'm being honest with you guys. I it's just a nate. It's a, it's a
about,
feeling.
Willis?
It's a feeling.
What do you mean you don't naturally get high?
About,
define
Willis?
Natural.
All right. Let me explain. Everybody thinks getting high, you're all fucked up. Right? I don't get fucked up.
You're going to smoke in front of me now.
No. Most people that get high are very mellow. Dude. They forget shit. They eat a lot. But that's back in the day.
I don't.
If you eat nine
I'm a very productive person. In fact, I can do things better when I smoke.
Right.
But does that mean I'm high? I don't know.
Yes, it does. We're very highly motivated. Highly motivated.
I think it's like a tonic to me. I'm serious.
I don't know, man. All I can tell you is...
I can smoke forever.
I stopped getting high like back in 1990, okay?
Oh, we got to get you high.
Nah. Trust me, I'm high already. You can see me.
I can see it, yeah.
Yeah, I'm high.
Look how quickly they give up. All right.
No, I stopped that shit because I used to get paranoid. And I used to...
Help us get our brain cells back. 1-800-893-9562.
All right, God damn, I just lost a lot of brain cells right there.
I have listeners.
That's true, too. No, but I used to forget everything. I used to get paranoid. I said, I can't deal with this shit. But, you know, 20-something years later, I still don't remember shit. So it's like, but nowadays, you guys got pot to get your dick up. You got pot to, like, make muggers disappear. You got pot to decrease fucking lumps on your ass. Sure. You got pot to fucking help you make a baked ziti. You got all sorts of shit.
They've engineered pot as much as they've engineered corn.
You should see the strains we have, all the different names.
No, I've seen fucking pictures, but I mean, if you're going to have that much engineering, why don't you engineer, like, you know, a better way to get education in a pill, for instance. Just suck on a fucking educational strip.
We're focusing on pot.
No, I'm just saying. How about getting a bunch of retarded motherfuckers like in this country and give them a fucking intellectual strip? Let them fucking melt it in their mouth. Shazam! Motherfucker knows everything.
It would force people to take LSD.
Right. Let me school you. Okay,
school me.
Oh, he's going to school.
Here's the real deal. This whole entire movement, HempCon, would not exist without one guy. His name is Jack Hare.
Jack Hare.
That's right.
Jack Hare was a friend of mine that wrote the book, The Emperor Wears No Clothes.
Got it.
best-selling book that exposed the cannabis hemp conspiracy,
right,
and how it's really the fabric of our country was built on hemp. There was a time in America when if you did not grow hemp, you would be arrested.
You'd be arrested.
So it's
what's that Cypress Hill song where they have the dude goes something about he reads a line from the Bible. He goes, right. Genesis 1:69. Right. God has given all. All burning plants to use. All seed bearing plants to use.
And that's the truth. That's
I want to get high.
You want to get high.
Is that what
people,
it is?
Yeah. Some people believe that the oil that Jesus was anointed with had cannabinoids. So, but the real on this is, I mean, it's part of our history, and you know, it's literally what could save our planet in a lot of ways.
Right.
Just by, you know, 1 acre of trees equals 4 acres. 4 acres of trees equals 1 acre of hemp and paper.
Right.
I mean, it's got 29% more protein than soy. And now we found out soy ain't so good for you.
Hey, anyway, listen. I got you, man. You can smoke it. You can shoot it up.
Right.
You can fucking shampoo it in your fucking hair. You can blow your nose and have the shit come back in your other nostril. I got you, man.
For me, it's not just about getting high with stoner chicks. That's pretty much my objective.
But you guys live the stoner lifestyle.
We do.
I mean, you do. Your brother does.
Just got here from Las Vegas.
Right. On a bicycle.
These guys are the real deal.
Oh, I know they're the real deal. Trust me, I know. This is no joke.
This is the real entertainment.
Anyway, that's enough with the fucking hemp con and all that shit. I hope you guys have a great fucking time. I hope that L.A. treats you right, K.O.P.
Thank you, my man. And thank you for having me on your show.
Yeah, you're here, man. You come anytime you want. JetBlue flies direct to Burbank from fucking Boston. Okay. Anytime you want to come, you just holla. You know what I mean?
Word.
But I want to start talking about Detroit, man. I don't know if you guys know what the fuck's going on in Detroit. First, I want to give a big up to the people in Detroit. Big up! Big up, Detroit! Big up, Detroit. Big up to Low Winter Sun. Big up, AMC, producing cable shows depicting crooked cops. Big up. Big the fuck up. See, what's going on in Detroit is that there's an explosion about to happen there. Let me read you some of these fucking numbers, man. These numbers are out of control. It's unbelievable. Detroit has like serious debt, no work, unemployment up the ass. I'm going to post a picture of what would look like a palace, not just like the Capitol building in Washington, a fucking palace like
in Vienna or something.
In Vienna. Thank you. For $2 million. This is how fucked up it is over there. Anyway, here's some of the numbers. $15 billion in total city obligations, okay? $9.4 million in bonds and other debt. Now, those two figures are what the fuck the city owes, right? $5.7 billion in unfunded retiree health care. That means you motherfuckers better move to L.A., start smoking pot so that you fucking get your cure fast because the fucking retiree health care is out the window. Minus $162 million in current net cash position. Okay? That means everybody's got to line up, open up their assholes, and fucking hope that somebody's going to pay for a FOOP session. $15 million. $15 million amount city paid in workers' compensation claims each of the last 2 years. 78,000 is the number of vacant structures in the city. Okay, God. We'll get into that. 78,000. Just so you know, some of these neighborhoods, there's only like 4 or 5 houses in a city block. They don't get electricity because the electric company cannot afford to deliver electricity for just 2 houses or 3 houses in that block. Okay, the rest of the houses in that block are fucking in ruin. Okay, 60,000 number of vacant parcels of land. I said that already. 18,500 number of retired city employees receiving medical benefits, and the average monthly drop in population from 1950 to 2010 is 1,575.
Oh my
Those
God.
Are people who are fucking going, I'm out.
exit stage left.
Anyway, we may not have a lot of time, all the time in the world to cover this because this is heavy duty. But, we all got a little schooled on the riots of 1942. Basically, so what goes on in Detroit is it goes something like this. You have the blacks and the whites in the South. Slaves are free. Whites hate the blacks. There's still segregation. You know, racism is fucking high and mighty. Poverty is in the South, right? Because fucking the cotton fields of who's going to operate and blah, blah, blah. Detroit becomes the epicenter of manufacturing. Of course, most of us know the auto industry. There's so much fucking work there that they don't even know what to do. Blacks and whites, mostly from Appalachia, move up to Detroit to get work, right? To work in the manufacturing plants, the auto manufacturing plants. World War II starts to happen around 1941, right? The government says we're going to stop production of the auto industry and we're going to kind of redo the factories and we're going to make those manufacturing plants that used to do cars and we're going to build fucking engine parts for fucking planes and we're going to do this and we're going to that to support the war. So not only now was there a lot of work, now there's more fucking work. This causes a big problem because all these people, they go to Detroit. This is in the 40s, right? They go to Detroit and great, there's a lot of work. But where do these fucking people stay? There's not enough homes. The infrastructure is not built up for them. So what happens is, long story short, whites and blacks have to live together. They have. They're forced to fucking be on top of one another in the assembly plants and all this other shit. Of course, racial tensions are going on. You know, no white person in their right mind wants to live anywhere near a black guy. You know what I mean? No white person in their right mind wants to work alongside a fucking black guy.
You
okay?
should see my neighborhood. And
I'm just saying. No white person wants to fucking, you know, live and coexist with a nigger. You know what I'm saying? Awesome. It ain't gonna happen. So, you know, the blacks are treated like shit, right? There's tension, of course. Eventually, you know, there's fighting, always fucking fighting between the whites and the blacks. And we became
kind of a laughing stock to the Nazis.
Well, yeah.
We're the good ones running around telling everybody to love and peace and all
correct.
That. And you know, everybody's equal and we can't even keep our shit together.
Correct. That's actual news. Hey, by the way, if you guys want, you go to this website, Detroit's-Great-Rebellion.com. I'll repeat that. Detroit's-Great-Rebellion.com. They have all sorts of information about the riots in Detroit and all over America during this time period. We became the laughing stock because we're fighting a war against Germany to, prevent racism and fucking assault on human beings. And here we are. We're allowing this shit to happen. So actually, Hitler used some of that stuff as propaganda on their side, which is beautiful. It's awesome.
Oh, fuck. I mean, we deserve it. I mean, come on. It's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
The fucking knuckleheads back at home, you know, we're out fighting for, you know, for equality and everything. And then,
Yeah. I mean, one of the events that made the 42 riots, you know, actually happened, you know, there were a lot of them. Whites kind of picketed Packard. The automobile company, they walk off the fucking job in protest to having to work with blacks. They fucking walk off. Of course, blacks, they're working. There's a lot of socioeconomic...
They flip-flop because the way that Detroit was designed was so that you have all the factories very close, but then you don't want people having to live very far away.
Right.
And you have a lot of community stores and stuff like that all together, right? So that you can have a good infrastructure of trains and subways, bus, all that stuff, right? So then, you know, you're going to have, where are you going to put everybody? And now the whites don't want to live next to the blacks, you know, and all of that. It's just a big cluster.
Yeah.
In that time, it just happened too fast.
It happened too fast. But there was an event that happened that had to do with building of a housing project And again,
and then the government flip flops on that, you know, because pressures from society,
right? Pressures for the blacks,
yeah, because they're going to go on strike, or they, right. you know, the whites like flip over cars and block, and have a blockade.
Well, it became the whites thought that the building project was housing project was going to be for them.
Yeah, then they find out it's not. Then the government flops.
Right. Obviously, because I mean, if you're white, you should automatically have that on principle, right?
Right.
And so it turns out that it wasn't for them. The fucking whites go fucking buck wild, okay? Stopping blacks in their cars, flipping the cars over. There's an island in Detroit what the hell is it called? Anyway, there's an island in Detroit, Belle Isle, which is the largest city-owned island park in the country, okay? The largest city-owned island park in the country. Encompasses a spacious 985 acres, okay? But it wasn't big enough to prevent two volatile groups from avenging past grievances. Anyway, what happens there is that blacks usually go there to sunbathe and chill out, and whites wind up going there because they knew that they had to get themselves some niggers because, you know, there wasn't enough time, you know, there wasn't enough beatdowns going on.
You got to justify this.
Yeah. So they go there, and they start beating the fuck out of each other, and this thing escalates, and it goes on for fucking days. And the city doesn't know what to do with it. America doesn't know what to do with it. And it's a hellhole. We're going to go to 1967. The riots of 1967, unlike 42, had to do predominantly with the fact that now a lot of that manufacturing had disappeared. Mm-hmm. Outsourced to other countries. A lot of automobile companies fucking went under. So now you have all these people living there, right? A lot of people there. Not enough work.
No work.
What does that create for black people? Hookers, alcoholism,
drug dealing,
yeah. Cracking it up, right?
Everything.
So what happens is, again, blacks become, easy targets, right? They go into the fucked up neighborhood and they raid this speakeasy, right? Any place that didn't have a license.
They call them blind pigs.
Exactly, blind pigs. That's exactly what it's called. Mm-hmm. And so they raid this blind pig, and one thing leads to another. A fucking mass of blacks starts to form outside. They start throwing bottles.
They expected 10 or 15 people.
10 or 15.
There was like 80 or 90 people there celebrating two veterans of Vietnam that had just returned from
black
war.
Black veterans, right.
They were all celebrating. And when they tried to arrest everybody.
Right.
They put everybody in custody.
Right.
And that caused the crowd to form outside.
Right.
And they weren't having it.
Right.
Not at all.
They weren't having it. Because that wasn't the first fucking time they'd done that shit.
Yeah, of course.
Blacks have been getting their balls busted by the fucking cops in Detroit from Jump Street.
I can relate to that.
You know what I mean?
I can relate to that.
Yeah, but in your case, white cops are fucking busting your chops.
Yeah, well, I'm a disgrace to the white race.
Yeah. Well, you're a white motherfucker. You're supposed to have a college education.
You chose this.
Fuck is wrong with you? We trained you to be supreme.
I'm sorry.
So anyway, that shit happens. One thing leads to another. There's like fucking 20,000 motherfuckers outside. And again, this thing escalates to like crazy shit, you know.
They start looting like crazy.
Looting.
Burning buildings, just, you know, getting out of hand. And at first the cops didn't do anything because they were just sitting there watching them do it because there weren't enough cops. This started all on a Sunday and there wasn't enough police on duty to like fight this.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Craziness. Yeah. Anyway, so all this crazy shit happens and
it goes on for like 5 days.
5 days. Yep.
Five fucking days.
Yeah. Five days.
This is like the World Series of fucking riots right here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Budweiser, get your beer here. Popcorn, peanuts, Cracker Jacks. Motherfuckers, we're having the World Series of fucking riots.
Looting national champions.
Yo, these motherfuckers ain't playing. They don't give a fuck. These black folks have had it.
They had it.
Busting your own shit because you're unhappy. It's like if you've really shown everybody you just really don't give a shit about anything. You've lost your will to live. I'm so fucking lost. I'm just gonna break my own shit. You know?
Yeah.
It's
frustration level was at oversaturation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They just couldn't handle it anymore.
We got a caller.
Anybody could.
Hi, caller.
Hey.
Hey, welcome to Nestorius Public Radio.
Thank you.
Are you calling live from Detroit? I can see your caller ID.
I'm calling live from Detroit, yes.
How is it in Detroit today? Is it nice or was it shitty out there?
Today was a pretty rough, cold, rainy day.
Yeah.
But it's good to hear you talking about Detroit.
Yeah, no, we're going to be talking about Detroit for a while. Yeah.
I've been working here for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
And I think it's an amazing place. The people here are amazing. Like, all the people are amazing, but they're strong. And I think it's great that you're talking about Detroit because, you know, right, the way it looks here, honestly, I've been to New Orleans. I don't know if anyone went to New Orleans. Any of you guys went to New Orleans?
I was in New Orleans, yeah.
Yeah.
But New Orleans, in Detroit, it looks like New Orleans, but without any hurricane. And it's astonishing to, like, witness the houses with roof caves and just the abandonment that's happened here and the destruction. And it's all man against man.
Right.
And it's really, really sad. But the people that are here hold strong, and they love being here, and they're just holding out in the culture here, and it's beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, yeah, I mean, basically, the government has turned its back on the fucking people of Detroit. Everyone's turned their back on Detroit. It's almost as if, fuck it, they're not building any more cars there. Fuck them. We, you know, it's not important. We don't really need to worry about Detroit.
Yeah, their resolve is to uproot people from, you know, areas that aren't lived in, and just seriously put a fence around subdivisions.
Right.
Like, it's just so people can't go back in.
They're trying to pay people to move them and get them all to live in the same area.
Yeah, instead of somehow cultivate that area, why don't they start growing pot in Detroit?
There you go.
Seriously, that's there a pretty big industry, right?
Save the world.
Fucking save Detroit. Detroit. Smoke a fucking bowl.
Actually, they do have a medical marijuana law.
They should have
in
more.
Detroit,
man.
That's the intention.
There's
a whole movement of people that want to save Michigan, the whole state, by becoming a grow state, the first legal
state
grow marijuana.
Yeah, but that's not the solution, I don't think. That could be some of the solution.
It's a billion-dollar crop.
I got you.
Lots of jobs.
All right, so go ahead. I'm sorry, go ahead.
It's better than fencing it off.
Could be part of the solution if the government here wasn't corrupt and if you could make sure that the money was made and would go to the people or was allocated to the right people, right places.
Right, because one of the mayors recently, what was it, like Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick,
I believe. Kwame Big Pockets?
Yeah, wasn't he a basketball player or some shit? The dude was like fucking 8 feet something. I'm serious.
What are we thinking?
His name's Kwame?
Kwame Malik Kilpatrick.
Kwame Malik Kilpatrick. Is that Irish?
He's a black dude, so he must have been inseminated with Irish.
His brother Seamus.
Is he from Massachusetts?
So we'll talk about the caller. But anyway, you know, before we start talking about the mayor who was in...
Before I go, I just want to say thank you for big upping Low Winter Sun, because it's a show that's shot here. We need more film production here. And the fact that it's shot here and all the images and people that can't make it to Detroit are going to get to see what Detroit really looks like, the real Detroit, on this show coming on AMC in August. I just want to
AMC in August. Okay. Hey, are there any special things that we should know about Detroit other than the people are steadfast and keeping their spirits up? Or, like, are there any, like, is there a good place that gets a specific type of food that's indigenous to that region, or, you know?
Oh, I don't know.
Is there like a dirty shoe soup or something like that? Like, you know, it's got to be something in there, like used underwear souffle, something that's
like tire donuts.
You know what I mean? Something.
We got the chowder.
I mean, something's got to have come out of that. You know what I mean? Some culinary fucking thing. Nothing.
I'll find out, and I'll give you the information next week. I'll call in again.
Well, let me ask you this.
Nuts and bolts.
No, let me ask you this. There's a mountain of sludge that I read. I read about this. On top of all this shit, by the way, there's a fucking black mound of Canadian oil waste that's rising over fucking Detroit. These cocksuckers. They got a mountain bigger than fucking Long John Silver's penis and as thick as fucking Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's thigh, fucking a black shit floating on the fucking river. This is of petroleum coke.
Coming from Canada.
From Canada.
Yeah, Canadians, eh?
Across the river. These cocksuckers.
It's coming your way.
Yeah, it's a byproduct of dealing with this, that sandy fucking, you know, the sandy Canada oil.
Right, right, the sands oil. Yeah. And by the way, this is near Assumption Park. Have you been there? To Assumption Park, near the Detroit River, I believe?
No, I haven't been there.
Well, you should check it out, because that's where it is. Assumption Park gives residents of this city lovely views of the Ambassador Bridge and the Detroit skyline. Lately, they've been treated to another site, a three-story pile of petroleum coke covering an entire city block on the other side of the Detroit River.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a special gift.
Yeah, uh-huh. Big up, Canada, you fucking white motherfuckers! Big the fuck up or fucking shit up all the time for coming into our country and thinking you can come in and out without a fucking passport, you cocksuckers! Big up!
Thanks for the trailer park, boys.
Fucking Canadians. Not for nothing. I've been to Canada about 5 or 6 times. You know, I love the Canadian people, but fuck the Canadian government. They're a bunch of douchebags. They're a fucking bunch of douchebags, I swear to God. Anyway, she left.
Don't worry, I'm never going to Canada. They won't let me in.
Carla, you left? Was I cursing too much? Oh, she left. Ah, fuck.
She'll be all right.
All right. Well, anyway, you know what? We're going to keep talking about this Detroit shit only because I was going to do the interview of Crash, John Crash Matos, but we're running out of time, and I don't want to rush the interview because that's my boy, and he definitely deserves a fair amount of time. I don't want to rush the whole
thing. Relevant.
He's totally relevant. He's totally
that's
relevant.
That's it.
That's it. Yo, that's it. you is my cousin on the air?
I got him right over here.
Okay,
here we go.
Yeah, I recently found out my cousin was on YouTube.
Hey.
Yeah, Marisa Rodriguez.
You got the... Oh, wait, hold on.
You got her?
Oh, here we go, yeah.
Down, or should I just start talking and dancing and shit?
Oh, Marisa.
My fucking cousin.
My name is Marisa. I'm a transsexual from the Lower East Side. I'm a third sexy person, which means I'm a woman living inside what used to be a man's body. That's God's mistake. That's not my fault. That Jesus Christ messed up. He made a mistake, but I need science to fix that shit. I'm looking to find me a white nigga who has a lot of money, who's willing to pay for my tits, and who's not going to be judgmental about my feet. Alright, cause my feet, I'm a little self-conscious about my feet. Are you that white nigga? Shit, you look like a classy white nigga. Where you from?
You can have a seat on the stool, Maurice.
Yeah, but where you from, though? That's it.
Westchester.
You from Westchester? Holy shit!
That's it!
That's what I'm looking for. You classy? You don't hang out with any gorillas, do you? I'm sick of these motherfucking gorillas.
That's it, gorillas. That's my cousin, Marisa Rodriguez. I didn't even know.
Sounds like a lovely girl.
Yo, she's a trip, man. Yo, you catch her up. You catch her up on YouTube, man. It's unbelievable. A
couple drinks and she's my kind of woman.
Yo, she's crazy, man. She's crazy. She's a... Maurice is his name, but he used to play basketball. This motherfucker played professional basketball.
All right.
Decided to get a fucking, you know...
She knows how to hit that hoop.
She's pre-op, so she needs money for her tits.
Pre-op.
Yeah, she needs money for her tits.
Of course she is.
Yo, she'll take any motherfucker out there in the court, in a court of basketball. Anyway, back to Detroit. I just want to say I was going to play the interview with John Crash Matos, but we have a, you know, maybe 10 minutes left of the show, something like that, and I don't want to rush it. Well, I want to finish up the dialogue here with Detroit, but in the meantime.
This is John Crash Matos, and you are listening to Nestorius Public Radio.
That's right, that's my boy John. You're going to check him out. Next week, we'll do that. In the meantime, if you're listening, go to crash.com or check out, just Google John Crash Matos. The dude is nasty, man. Unbelievable street artist, graffiti artist. We're gonna do part one next week. Hi, Carla.
Yo, this motherfucking Ice-T. What's happening, man?
Hey, yo, what's up, baby? How you doing?
You know, I just want to say to my peeps out there in Detroit, it's hip hop. You know what I'm saying? That's Motown right there.
Yeah, well, yeah, no doubt. Big the fuck up, Detroit! Your black infested fucking superpower city! Big up, Detroit! Big up Ice-T, man. Thanks for... Yo, what's up, Ice?
Yo, I just want to say, you know, I'm out here in Las Vegas with my girl, Coco. You know, she got a show every night.
Yeah.
So I'm taking a little hiatus from the NBC biz. You know what I mean?
Yeah, did Law & Order SVU wrapped, right? I mean, the last show was recorded like a couple weeks ago, right?
I'm sitting poolside right now with Richard Belzer. You know what I'm saying? Me and the Belz, we kicking it. Because Belz is hip-hop. I don't know if y'all know that. But
No, I do know that. I do know that. I know Belz. Belz yeah. be kicking his shit live since 85.
He does the best impression of Mick Jagger. It's like a rooster on acid. It's incredible.
Oh, that's crazy. That's crazy.
I just want to say, yo, to my boy, big ups to Nestorius Radio, Public Radio. Y'all the best over there.
Yeah.
Body count coming back hard.
Word. Yo, thanks for calling in, Ice.
You got it.
Big up, Ice T. Big the fuck up.
Motherfucking T.
Yo, I actually interviewed him last year, right before his film came out, Something From Nothing, The Art of Rap. I'll probably play that interview, or I'll upload it so that y'all can listen to it in full. It's about an hour long. It's about fucking Ice gave me about 40 minutes. Yeah, he wasn't playing. He ain't playing. He was like, hey, yo, homie, keep it moving. Love is love. Big pimping. He was shooting a fucking video outside, and he was like, hey, yo, homie. Anyway. So,
Ice is the bomb, dude. I love Ice-T.
Yeah, he's a good guy. He's a good guy.
But I love Coco more.
He's a pimp.
Coco's a trip, dude. Coco's a fucking trip. It's unbelievable.
Were you nervous when you were around her? Because I was very nervous.
To be honest with you, when I was on set of Law & Order SVU, I saw her kind of moving back and forth from his dressing room. They bring their little dogs and shit.
Yeah.
And so I really didn't interact with her. I pretty much interacted with him. And, you know, the dude's amazing.
He is. Know? He's an really amazing nice person guy. And extremely real. I mean, just
real, down to earth. No airs.
I'll never forget this one time I was at the Coconut Teaser when Body Count was playing there, and his son, Lil Ice, was probably like 10, mm-hmm. had a necklace and diamonds that said Ice that was worth more than everything I've ever owned. And and Ice goes, yo, I'm going to step outside for a little bit. I want you to watch my son hang out.
Yeah.
I got to watch Ice-T's son. Something goes wrong. Comic. At that time, I was just, a stupid musician, but I was scared nonetheless.
As opposed to what are you now?
Yeah. Well, check it.
Stupid comic.
When I had met him on the set, and then did I meet him yet or not? No, his back was to me. You know, I remember back in the day, he had his hair pulled back in a ponytail. Now he's got almost no hair.
Right.
Right. And he's a light skinned brother.
He is.
Like
indeed.
Light skin. Like, yes. I think, Jeffrey, you're darker than him.
I am.
So I walk behind him and I go.
That. Me and Ice-T, we hang out and talk about that by the pool with Belz.
The Belz.
I walk up to him from behind and I go, damn, motherfucker looks white from behind. He goes, that's right. I got that white money, too. Like, you got it.
And I got your daughter. This is one of the funniest things he said on stage once. He goes, you know, motherfuckers, they try to get me hit for playing a cop on TV. They say I sold out. Look, I'm an actor. I'll play whatever part they give me. I'll play a chair, motherfucker.
Yeah.
And he goes, yes, I play a cop on TV. They pay me $100,000 an episode. And then at the end of that week, when I cash my check, I say, fuck the police.
He's a fucking trip. Anyway, look, man, so you know, we can talk about Detroit for fucking hours, man, because there's some fucked up shit that's going on in there, and it's just like hand over fist, you know, going back to that black mound of Canadian oil waste. Really?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Unfortunately, man, I this is going to happen in so many more pockets of the United States as things go. You know, as manufacturing goes to other world countries, you know, for pennies of the day, you know, it's just.
You were talking about hemp and growing stuff in there. See, there's one solution, and that's part of it, what you just said, which is basically bringing the means to make a living, back to Detroit.
Exactly.
Because if you look at the history, I just told
like
you.
Michael said jobs.
In the 30s, that's what brought all the people to Detroit, the manufacturing industry. So bring fucking jobs back to Detroit. How can we do that? By marijuana fucking crops? It's, that's one thing.
It's already medical there. So
I'm saying that's one thing. Mm-hmm. The fucking U.S. government has the power to fucking give tax amnesty for fucking 5 years to major corporations. Why the fuck does Apple got to make their products in another fucking country? Yeah. Why don't they give them a fucking 5 year tax amnesty, make the manufacturing in Detroit, hire people, put more fucking money, stimulate the economy, and prevent this shit from blowing up, because it's gonna happen, man. There's only so much people can take before they fucking go buck wild.
I've been told that about the facades in Detroit, which is really sad. They have to put facades up in front of the buildings to make it look like there's people in the buildings and there's something going on, because behind it is just a dilapidated building.
Right. You know? Well, that's a job we could have. We could be facade players.
Facade players.
Just walk up in the windows and make believe like we're fucking, we're smoking.
Extras in a
real town.
You know what they could do with Detroit? And this isn't even, like, they could actually have a post-apocalyptic amusement park and just turn the entire Detroit into, like, you know, a zombie village. You know what I mean? People would go there. Like, it's just, post-apocalyptic is the new Western, so people are into it, man.
I want to ride the crackhead.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Right. Ride the crackhead.
Hey, have you been on the whore yet?
Hey, yo, so I'm going to read a couple of short snippets, and then we're going to wind this shit down. Y'all know Malcolm X's grandson was killed? You remember, what's his fucking name? Remember the kid, Malcolm X's grandson? He was the daughter of Kabila. Kabila was arrested for allegedly conspiring to kill Louis Farrakhan, right? You remember this in the 80s? Anyway, the dude's name is Malcolm.
I did a lot of cocaine in the
80s. The grandson's name is Malcolm Shabazz, 28 years old, right? So he and a Mexican labor activist were drinking at the Palace Club in Mexico City until 3 a.m. when they questioned a $1,200 bill, a bar tab. Shabazz, the son of Malcolm X's second daughter, Kabila, had a troubled past. After Kabila was arrested for allegedly conspiring to kill Louis Farrakhan, Shabazz went to live with his grandmother, Betty Shabazz, who happened to be Malcolm's late wife. At age 12, he was sent to juvenile detention for starting a house fire that killed her. You don't remember this shit? You remember this?
Yeah. I remember this.
Yeah. Sending the kid to a juvenile detention center, obviously the kid's got mental issues, right? Why not treat him to psyche? I mean, think about
that's not what they do.
Of course not. They put
They throw him into the Thunderdome, and those kids learn to become real criminals from that point.
Exactly. And you know, my man's in fucking Mexico City, you know, drinking with a fucking Mexican activist, man, and he's questioning a $1,200 bill.
I smell bullets coming.
You know what I'm saying? It's fucking ridiculous. All right. So we got tons of shit to talk about. Not enough time. I want to end this with a little essay. I get my shit from The Week. It's a news magazine, but this is all about crazy and all kinds of shit that everyone's crazy now. But there's a book that comes out, I think every 10 years or so, 19 years. It's called The Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, right?
So it's sponsored by the American Pharmaceutical Corporations of America.
So in honor of this book coming out, William Falk, Google him, writes this essay. We are all to some extent crazy. If you come to know any human being well enough, you eventually gain access to the basement where the traumas and wounds and deprivations are stored. Rummage in there for a while and you begin to understand the neuroses and fixations that shape his or her personality. The successful, reasonably happy people I've known are nuts in a way that works for them. Those who struggle and suffer fail to turn their preoccupations to some meaningful use. Next week, the American Psychiatric Association releases the latest version of its Bible of mental illnesses, the DSM-5, which catalogs about 300 categories of crazy. Critics of all kinds have lined up to assail this dictionary of disorders as subjective and lacking in scientific validity, assembled primarily to justify the prescribing of pills of dubious value,
About 50% of the population, the APA admits, will have one of its listed disorders at some point in their lives. Shy, like Emily Dickinson, you have avoidant personality disorder. Obsessed with abstractions and numbers, you have autistic spectrum disorder, like Isaac Newton. Suffer from narcissistic personality disorder with some hypersexuality thrown in? You must be a politician.
Hey, stop talking about my dick.
To be skeptical of these neat categories isn't to deny the minds of broken, stuck, or lost and need help finding their way out of misery, but psychotherapy remains an art, not a science. There is no bright line between nuts and not. If you're an old lady who lives amidst piles of newspapers and personal treasures, you have hoarding disorder. If you're a CEO who exploits sweatshop labor to pile up countless billions, you're in the cover of Forbes. Okay? William Falk. Check it out. Anyway, you've been listening to Nestorius Public Radio. Check us out, NestoriusPublicRadio.com. Check us out on Facebook, / NestoriusPublicRadio.com. Check me out at Facebook, Nestorius. Check out 420 Comic.
I'll be at HemCon, motherfuckers.
KOP.
And I'll be there, too.
Rich.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Leave me the fuck alone, LAPD.
That's Dagwood. That's motherfucking Dagwood right there. All right. So that's it, man. Thanks for tuning in. Big up.
Shit, so y'all gotta, encourage me the whole way long. Ow. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit, so y'all gotta...